Good morning, Miles.
Oh, hi. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Now, currently, museums do care for and preserve important artifacts. Is the mere preservation enough for these artifacts, especially when we're talking about our indigenous artifacts?
Yeah, look, I mean, preservation of the artifact is what we do at the museum, but the artifact needs to be preserved in more than just a physical sense. So obviously, like, there are a lot of different risks that can happen to a collection, things like water damage or theft via insects. Infestation is a big problem in southeastern states of Australia. But in order to preserve the physical collection, those risks, they're all managed. And we do that with a network of different specialists. I guess what people haven't done in the past is really managed the non-physical risks, so the cultural risks. Like you said, when a spear goes into the archive, it's never thrown again. But when a didgeridoo goes into the archive and is acquired, it's never played again. Mm-hmm. Now, museums are actively working with communities to try and engage and bring in Aboriginal people to empower themselves by accessing the collection and kind of waking up some of those artifacts asleep in the archive.
Of course. Now, how much autonomy does the Aboriginal community have in bringing their cultural artifacts to life?
So that's a good question. I suppose I would say with more and more Aboriginal staff working in the space, Aboriginal people are have a lot more autonomy, and certainly more than ever before in terms of working with their objects. But I prefer not to really think of the museum as empowering Aboriginal people, but rather it's Aboriginal people who empower themselves by accessing the archive. So community access are prioritised by the museum, and access visits are quite common, and they're certainly more common than any other type of access visit. But at the same time, I don't think that's the museum's doing so much as it's Aboriginal people utilising that framework and empowering themselves.
Now, what about, we're just talking, and this is preserving the cultural, if you will, aspect of these artefacts. What about the, going back to the physical aspects of them, what happens with all the handling?
Yeah, so, I mean, of course there is a risk by having a greater number of access to the collection, or more access to the collection, there's going to be greater risk. But I think that the risk is outweighed by the benefit that comes with the knowledge which Aboriginal people can bring through their access to the collection.
Of course.
So a really good example of that would be the fact that we have a basket in our collection. It's a Malangimbi basket from up north. A community group quite recently, a Puru group came and accessed the collection with one of our curators. And I was with them when our conservators asked what the basket was used for. The women said the basket had been used for fishing and possibly carrying crab. So this meant that conservation, when they were cleaning and reviewing the basket and looking at it under microscopes, they saw sand on the fibres. Previously, they hadn't known whether that sand was a result of it being stored in the museum or if that sand was actually part of the object. And now they know that in terms of removing and cleaning the object, to leave the sand, because the sand is actually part of the object's history. Mm. So in some ways, yes, the object will be physically compromised by having more access. But then again, in other ways, the object can be more able to be preserved because the knowledge that comes into the museum is conservation knowledge.
Of course. Now, what you were saying at the start of the interview, there's no point locking these artifacts away when you lose part of the culture that went with them and they don't get used for their original purpose anymore.
Absolutely. And the knowledge going with that, I mean, probably the biggest risk that we have to the collection is something that we call disassociation. The disassociation is when the object becomes separated from the information we have about the object. So at a most basic level, that would be if, say, a tag fell off a boomerang and was lost, and we didn't have any photographs or any fail-safes in place to be able to track that, then that boomerang kind of just becomes a piece of wood because we don't know where it's from, we can't provenance it, we don't know who made it, we don't know anything about the story. By keeping the doors open and kind of moving away from that mentality of the museum as a gatekeeper and having people in the archive engaging with objects dynamically, we just add to that knowledge and we add to the value of all of the artifacts.
It is an important thing to preserve the knowledge behind the artifacts. Can you just briefly, Miles, explain to us what ethnographic museums are?
So ethnographic museums,
Sorry.
Yeah, that's right. So ethnographic museums are generally museums with ethnographic collections. And ethnography is the study of people or cultures. So ethnography is really designed to explore cultural phenomena where researchers would be able to observe society from within communities. The origins of the European Museum, or the museum as we know, they kind of come from what's called Wunderkammer, or like the Cabinet of Curiosities. And there's still quite a few museums around the world and even around Australia that echo that approach of just collecting ethno-curios from mysteries around the world. Ethnographic museums have moved a vast distance recently from that early kind of collecting, oddities. And, you know, anthropologists kind of going into community and vacuuming up artifacts. So now really engaging, commissioning and working with people to get these collections and to look after these collections. So like I said, in Australia, we still have ethnographic collections, museums, or at the very least we have museums with collections that have ethnographic components that were collected in a different era. But it's a kind of different context to what we have now. So ethnographic museums generally is pretty hard to explain.
That's understandable. And just as a final question, do you believe that we are witnessing a trend of greater cultural involvement in the preservation of artefacts? Not just limited to Aboriginal artefacts, but in a wider sense?
Yeah, short answer, yes. Aboriginal people in particular are now being not viewed as the kind of consultants or collaborators or the reference groups and advisors that they were in the past, but actually as co-curators and co-authors of the museum's methodology and of also any exhibitions. So in that regard, there's a lot greater cultural involvement in the preservation of artifacts than ever before. But even like outside of the Indigenous collections, just the role of designers and reference groups and community within exhibitions, and curators are now taking much more of a backseat role, I suppose, in regards to that. Well, backseat, but probably overstates it the other way. But definitely community and cultural involvement is greater than ever before.
That is excellent to hear. We will have to leave it there, unfortunately, Miles, but thank you very much.
No worries. Thanks very much for having me.
Bye.